Good evening.
Welcome to the Astral Unicorn.
Thank you.
fotografisch scherp zag hij hen beiden gaan. Een kind dat vol vertrouwen in hem voorthuppelde, maar reeds beschadigd voor het leven begon. En hij, in zijn vale demi, omgeven met een odium van misprijzen en lege, volstrekt lege eenzaamheid. Niemand weet hoe verloren en nutteloos ik mijzelf gadesla, dacht hij. Een lege dag lag voor hem.
Thank you. Thank you. the fruits of what they're living every day. To me, it doesn't seem to be very pleasant. To them, maybe it is, but to me, the whole planet is in frustration and futility. I'm used to happiness myself, because that's what I've experienced in my journeys in other dimensions. People that stay on one planet don't know what happiness is, because they have nothing to compare. But I know what it is. It isn't what they think it is. So I strive to present it in music, since music is a language. If those who have ears for that sort of thing, they can hear it. But the only thing about their ears will have to be in tune with the cosmos.
With the tremendous distances involved, travel to the stars would seem impossible. But with man's endeavor and resourcefulness, these problems will be overcome as they always have been in the past. Scientific estimates tell us that there will be a breakthrough in space travel in the near future. When the boundaries of distance break down, the Earth will become our home, the universe, our world.
From a point of physics, there are possible models today which may enable shortcuts in the space-time continuum. One of these shortcuts may be black holes. Black holes are the remainder of very large stars which have collapsed to a so-called singularity. And when stars do collapse to a singularity, they leave a tunnel, a gravitational tunnel behind, a rotating tunnel. And in this tunnel, space and time has a completely different meaning than to the normal usage that we make of space and time. Thus, in a tunnel, the so-called Einstein-Rosen bridge, time runs backwards. So a spacecraft which would dive into such a tunnel would move forwards in space and backward in time.
Thank you. When we talk about hyperspaces and opening up the number of dimensions, and if we were to build a vehicle, if our science has progressed to this point, our technology, the applied science, if we develop a vehicle that is capable of doing that, traveling across the universe is not traveling through one space. It's flipping into these other spaces where the other one is only a short space away, you know, a few inches away. And so you're talking about flipping rather than going like an arrow through a space-time or a bullet. You simply flip and flip back, and there you are. And so with the control of flipping, you could flip from here, and then you could flip up into the third or fourth dimension, higher than this three. And you could flip back into this dimension, this space-time, only you could flip several galaxies away. You could jump between galaxies.
Third possibility may be dematerialization. Science fiction authors have always mentioned this possibility, and although this may be utopia to us today, sometime in the future it may be possible to dematerialize a spacecraft into pure energy and then beam this spacecraft at the speed of light to another solar system where it would materialize again, reassemble again, thus bridging these vast distances.
If we have a hyperspatial model, then simply by turning in another direction, a right angle, we would lose one dimension. When we turn three right angles, we lose all three dimensions. And that would be called full dematerialization. As far as we're concerned, when you turn one dimension, you would have lost one dimension, your length, and so you would appear to be a flat plane. You would appear to be a light form. By the way, some 83% or so of the UFO phenomena are just lights at night. Anyway, most researchers throw those away. Those are the interesting cases. And the particularly interesting are the cases where the light forms materialize into material forms and then dematerialize back into light forms and then fade away. And what I maintain is that you're looking at that phenomenon when you're seeing that. Now, that can be described mathematically. But that phenomenon of the hyperspatial aspects of it does exist, and you can show it. And I printed a photograph that showed the stars right through a dematerializing so-called spaceship. And so you do meet that format, and that is part of the phenomenon. Thank you.
If NASA has its way, many of the next generation will be residents of Mars. And the move towards this has already begun with the development of a space station. This was the essential first step towards making man a citizen of the universe.
What is really the long-range purpose of the space station? And we have worked on that question for a long time in NASA. We have started in the early 60s under the guidance of Dr. Wernher von Braun and others to look at long-range goals beyond the moon, beyond Mars even. And only recently, in fact, it was July 20th, 1989, the 20th anniversary of the landing of Apollo 11 on the moon, that President George Bush proposed a new program, a long-range program, with a goal to return to the moon and eventually go on to Mars, to the United States, as a long-range commitment. And as we develop the space station itself will be used as a test bed, as a laboratory to test new technologies. And you need space to develop those technologies. As long as we are still on Earth, we can just talk about it. The question of which technology to use for this new, what we call the Space Exploration Initiative, that's the name, SEI, Space Exploration Initiative, what technology to use in the area of propulsion or life support or materials and structures and power and communications is being analyzed and investigated by NASA right now. And we're doing it in a number of categories. We're looking at present-day technologies, tomorrow technologies, and advanced technologies which are day after tomorrow.
What was yesterday's science fiction is today's very palpable truth. Grandfather's spine-chilling fantasies have become an indispensable part of modern life. Jesko von Puttkamer was NASA's advisor to the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry.
You know, the reason I worked with Gene Roddenberry was because he wanted us to help him portray a future 200 years from now as we would like it to be. Very positive, technology having become our friend instead of our enemy, technology as a partner of humans. And of course, the story itself of this machine, Voyager or V'ger, looking for its maker, its creator, which is really a metaphor of humans looking for their God. And it's the God-seeker story. And so he wanted NASA to show that the technology which the movie and his TV series depicts is accurate, that the physics is accurate, that the mathematics is accurate, that the astronomy is accurate. The propulsion system of the Star Trek consists of two major elements. One is the energy source just to provide energy, which is the antimatter system. That makes sense. That could be done. But the propulsion itself to push the ship, it's called a warp drive, and that has to do with changing space itself and flying faster than the speed of light. We know what antimatter is, and that when you have antimatter and real matter and it comes together, you get a tremendous explosion, you get a tremendous energy, E equal mc square, as Einstein said. And so this is the most powerful reaction you get in the universe, therefore the Starship Enterprise uses it.
So there are a number of models which are feasible for interstellar or even intergalactic travel. Nevertheless, we must be clear about one point. There may be so many possibilities we can't even think of. So at the moment we have theoretical models, but a highly advanced civilization, another solar system, much older than we are, may have discovered fantastic ways of traveling among the stars. And for them, it may be like traveling from London to New York, traveling from Epsilon Eridani to the solar system.
Where you running from? Ich warte schon lange darauf, dass das wiederkommt, was mir geschehen ist. Eigentlich war es ein ganz normaler Tag. Es regnete, nicht stark, aber so hässlich, dass es mir ganz kalt war innen drin. Ganz plötzlich, bei der großen Wiese, wurde mir so heiß, als ob ein Feuer in mir brannte. Alles Hässliche verbrannte. Es wurde heißer und heißer. Ich glaubte, den Regen verdampfen zu sehen. Die Hitze steigerte sich immer weiter, aber ich fühlte mich bei jedem Lodern der Flamme befreiter. Dann fing der Regen Feuer und ich begann zu laufen, laufend zu tanzen. Ich umtanzte das Flammenmeer und es umtanzte mich. Und dann passierte es. Ich spürte einen Schlag und mein Gehirn zerplatzte in Glassplitter. Farben funkelten. Ich war nicht mehr ich, aber es war so wunderbar. Meine Hoffnung liegt tief am Grunde der Wasser, die der Delfin durchkämmt. Meine Gedanken sind mit der Brandung an den Klippen zerschellt und überwachsen sind sie von Korallen. Wüst ist alles, verschwommen und kalt. Wenn deine Augen den Delfin erblicken, so eile zu mir. Dann werde ich mich von den Klippen stürzen, um zu schwimmen und ihm zu folgen. In einer Büchse werde ich meine zerschellten Gedanken aufsammeln und meine Hoffnungen aus den Muscheln lesen. Mensch werde ich sein. Die Hoffnung wird befreit dem Wasser entrinnen und mich an den Strand tragen. Die Tropfen werden an mir hängen, aber der Wind wird trocknen, was mich friert. Mit all meinen Gedanken werde ich wieder sein.